Welcome to PsychTech, the psychology and technology podcast where we explore the human side of technology. As always, it is myself, Kelly Dunlap, and host Sway Cardona taking you on this expansive journey through humans and machines and all sorts of cool stuff.
A pleasure to be here with you, Kelly.
Always. So we had a fun weekend. We got to talk with Dr. Michael McClendon, who has his own podcast called The Psychology of Everything. And we talked a lot about virtual reality and its clinical and therapeutic implications. And that got me thinking about, you know, this episode of PsychTech. And I really wanted to kind of continue that conversation, but more in an augmented reality kind of way, looking at the clinical aspects as well as, some of the more fun stuff. So I was like, hey, Josue, can we do a podcast about how apps and maybe some fun technology are making the world a different place?
Different is a good word. Yeah. For better, for worse, there's a little bit of everything in terms of augmented reality. Yeah. Yeah. And I love I feel like we can't talk about virtual reality without talking about augmented reality. And there's these strange ideas that I'm not convinced which one is the most advanced technology. I don't know how you feel about that, because I do feel that technically it's harder to do augmented reality, but at the same time, I see that so many different things can happen with either one, and I think that we haven't seen what VR is capable of. So there's a lot of interesting things happening in the field of augmented / virtual reality.
Yeah, we ain't seen nothing yet.
Nothing.
That's kind of how I think about it. So I kind of want us to kick off. There was a couple really great articles looking at augmented reality apps. And I wanted to play around with some of them because a lot of them are free. And one of them I know, Josue, you played around with too, is an app called Hear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
H-E-A-R for those who might be interested. It's free. It's in the App Store, at least for iOS. Is it on Android?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, if you're on Android, I'm sorry. You can let us know. But it's Hear is an augmented reality app for audio, which that just description itself, I knew I had to go try it out. And so before we start talking about our experiences with it, just real briefly, there's a couple different filters and basically it changes the way you are hearing the audio input around you. And I don't even know if that description does it justice. I don't know if it can.
I mean, it's a little hard to explain, just like it's hard to explain, VR and augmented reality when you're looking at it. But I think, you know, when you think of augmented reality, think of you're looking at something and then there's an overlay. So maybe something that you're looking at in the real world is suddenly covered, and that's the augmented part. And it can be something simple, or it can be, you know, completely, you can see something completely different. And so the audio, it's the same idea. It's like a filter that you're seeing, that you're hearing the world through. So instead of hearing with your ears, your app is listening with the microphone and then sending you a signal, sending you that audio filtered to your ears. So I heard a lot of entertaining things when I use the app. It was kind of cool.
So I didn't actually get to use it around a group of people. I only got to use it at home, like by myself. So I know you got to use it in a workplace, and I'm super, super interested to hear what that was like. But the thing that I thought was pretty cool is one of the filters is, I think they call it the spy filter. And I guess it just picks up really faint noises and blocks out everything else.
It's like super hearing or something.
Yeah,
like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I could hear if, you know, John was talking in another room, I could hear him clearly through the app, even though if I took the earphones out, I wouldn't have been able to hear him. And there was another one that takes the audio around you and turns it into musical notes. So I would say something and then my voice was turned, not like I was singing what I was saying, but like each word was its own pitch, its own tone. And then they just started layering on top of each other, which made me laugh, which made a really interesting sound on top of that. But Jose, what did you go through? Because I wanted to know, but I told you no spoilers. So I've been waiting with anticipation to find out what you heard.
Yeah, so it was they must have thought I was crazy sitting at my desk because people around me were speaking, and then the device is actually essentially auto-tuning their voices. And so I'm hearing, it's like if they were cartoon characters, pretty much, instead of hearing them actually speaking. That one was just really silly. There was one that it made me feel like I was living out a scene from Daredevil, where they have these scenes where they show, you know, he's blind, but all of his other senses are enhanced. So there's some scenes where he hears things very, very loudly. So like if something falls and hits the ground, it's like thunder, right? It's just like this huge crashing sound. And one of the filters was kind of like that. So I would tap my microphone and it was just like this thunderous thing, like, and it would echo through. And then everything in the environment was just not only enhanced, but really, really skewed. So it was definitely trippy. It was a very trippy experience because everything sounded like something else. It was I always forget the name of the when you hear colors and
synesthesia.
Smell. Yeah, so it felt like that because it's not the same thing at all. But it's the idea that one thing is coming through as something else. And yeah, and for a little while, so I heard people talking. I did the super hearing one, and I could hear like really faint noises. Those were the ones that I amplified, and then things closer were like I could barely hear them. I did the co-working one. It was really funny because of the auto-tune. And then I went outside, and I walked through New York City. And I don't know. It was just, you know, I've never heard the city like that, obviously, mm-hmm. because every single sound was translated into something completely different. And many of the sounds it's not like I could pinpoint what they were. It's not like a dog sounds like a cat, you know, it's not a one-to-one. It's just weird. And it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, this auditory filter was really interesting. And it made me think of, in my clinical training, there was a day where you could go into a lab and they would put headphones on you. And it was supposed to simulate what it felt like, or what, I guess what it sounded like, to have auditory hallucinations. Because for those who don't know, auditory hallucinations, you know, hearing voices, quote unquote, it's not an external thing. It's not necessary. I mean, it's not like someone is talking to you and you're hearing it. It's a different experience. So when I tried out the Hear app, I thought, oh, maybe this is what it's like to just, obviously not necessarily have voices, but to just perceive the world in such a different way. And it also made me think a little bit about kids maybe on the autism spectrum who are really sensitive to sound. And if maybe this could be some kind of facsimile or estimation of what that might be like, even if it's not accurate and definitely was not built for that purpose, but just a very cool way to change the way that you perceive the world around you, which is what this entire episode's about.
Yeah. Anderson Cooper has a great, I think it's about a 20-minute segment he did. I think it's on his 360 show. I'll try to find it and put it in the show notes, where he uses that device for the auditory hallucinations. And he walks around and you kind of hear what he's hearing for a little bit. And then he reflects on the experience. It's kind of a powerful video. So I'll try to put that in the notes.
Okay. And so yeah, there's a lot of apps out there. There's that, I think this one's probably at least one of the most sophisticated, at least in my understanding of them so far. There's always, of course, gonna be ones like Google Translate, or I know we've talked about Yelp a lot and Street Views.
So actually, I do want to touch on Google Translate because I started playing around with a few of them and I did something I'd never done this before. At my house, we usually watch TV with subtitles on. And so I use the Google Translate app live with the subtitles going, and it's amazing the way that it translates the text that it's going. You know, the last time I used the app, it, you know, and for context, so you're looking at your computer's, at your phone's screen, and you're seeing what's behind it, right? What it's seeing through the camera. And any text that is on the screen gets instantly translated, which is still mind-blowing to me. And I've done it with signs and a few other things, but I'd never done it with, you know, a TV show where the subtitles are just, I mean, they keep changing and then they change rapidly. Mm-hmm. And it's almost instantaneous the way it was changing it to another language. Very, very cool. So, just another example.
Yeah, so it's not necessarily altering our perception of reality, but just making it easier for us to understand reality.
That's one application, yeah.
This kind of technology is being used all over the place to heighten people's experiences. So I know there's an app called Grammar, I think G-A-M-A-R. I think it's probably pronounced Gamer, but Gamer, whatever. And I know it's been used in the Museum of Modern Art up there in New York City to enhance people's experience of the museum. So, like, there's a tour function, which is not necessarily the most cutting edge, but there's other ones that allow you to create, they call them family trails, which is really, really interesting. And it's in multiple languages, and it's a way of altering the museum experience in order to give the person who is experiencing it a lot of different things they couldn't get otherwise. And I'm trying to think of a specific example because let's see here. Oh, the British Museum. That's one. There's a quote that says, "Gamer helps children learn about the stories behind the sculptures and also teaches directional skills." So not only is there the artistic appreciation side, but there's also very much a learning component, which I'm sure Josue has something to say about.
always. I mean, what's cool about it is that you can do, you know, you can take something like a statue that you're looking at, and all of a sudden the statue could move, right? And it's not literally moving, but when you look at it through a screen, all of a sudden it moves. Or maybe it starts talking. You know, maybe they just animate the mouth or something like that. Or maybe all of a sudden you can see something in the museum, you know, some kind of display. And through the augmented app, suddenly you see lines going from one thing to another, and it's asking you to follow it, right? And maybe you can see like this trail, right, going through the museum that isn't physically there, but you can see it through the app. And, you know, I'm all for anything that makes a more interactive experience.
You know, I've actually been working on a game like this with American University as part of my fellowship. We're working with one of the Smithsonians and trying to create interactive experiences for people in the American Art Museum. And it's kind of like telling a story through the art itself as a way to help people understand the art and, you know, what it means and what it represents, and to give a different experience. And it's not as fancy as Gamer, but, you know, it's a very, I don't want to say it's a common idea, but it's definitely becoming more popular. Although I really, one thing that I do love about Gamer is that idea of the invisible trail. You know, the fact that you can see something that nobody else can. To me, that's always really exciting. I always feel like a spy or some kind of ghost hunter or something.
And museums are such a fascinating place for VR and AR, because right now we have virtual tours of museums from around the world. So you can put on Google Cardboard and all of a sudden be at a museum, but you're not physically there. You can kind of have that experience. But then AR, once you're there, then you can have an amplified experience. So it, like, such different applications of these technologies in the same space. Because we could be talking about the same exact museum and have two technology teams working on these completely, completely separate and so, you know, completely different applications and ideas.
And I think one thing, especially in a space like the museums, I think augmented reality is going to be a much bigger thing than VR, because the idea that you're in a space and you want to actually see that space as well. I think that's one of the strengths of augmented reality, is that you can still look at, like, the Venus de Milo with your own eyes and then use technology to modify that experience, as opposed to not having the genuine experience to begin with and then choosing to modify it like you do in VR. Or, yeah, in VR.
But, like, not everybody can go to the Louvre,
Right.
But
so it's
a, now people can because of VR.
Right.
But if you can go, now that experience is way better than it's ever been, potentially.
Yeah, I'd feel really silly going to the Louvre and then putting on a VR to walk through the Louvre.
But that makes no sense.
Exactly. That, well, to me, it doesn't make sense.
I mean, you know, you would do VR from, you know, from your house in the U.S. Yeah.
And this idea of like something secret really, really speaks to me. There's a comic book, an interactive piece of fiction that was funded on Kickstarter a couple of years ago that I can't remember the name of, but basically you get this comic book like you would, like any kind of Batman or Superman comic book, but they wrote it. And when you move your tablet or smartphone over the pages, you see encrypted messages. You see like secret codes. You see all this backstory that's not included in the comic itself. And you use that to actually make your way through the comic. And it's such a fascinating experience to have. And I wish I could have backed it because I would have picked that up in a heartbeat.
Yeah, Marvel's comics have had AR for a while.
Oh, really?
And it works. Yeah, it works similarly. You know, some of them, they'll have that little tag. And if you have the app, then there's a video that kind of, you know, you can see on the page or that is additional to the story. And there's different ways to do it. And it's so weird because I've thought about how this tech has been used in different ways throughout the years. And like, I didn't think about it as much. It wasn't as popular. No one was necessarily calling it. I guess it's always been augmented reality, but I remember when I believe like the PS Vita and the Nintendo DS, the original, I think it was the original 3DS came out. They came with these cards that you would scan, and it's a flat card on the surface, but once you look at it through the console, there's actually a statue there. And sometimes they were like actual 3D animated figures that are moving around. I remember a card battling game on the PS3 many years ago. They came with like the stand and this special like tablecloth. And when you put a card down, the camera would read it. And then on your screen, even though you could see the table and the cards, on top of each card, there were monsters on top of mm-hmm. them moving around. And it looks like something from like the chess game in Star Wars. And that stuff has been around for years, but then comparing that to something like my new favorite app, Snapchat, that thing is incredible. The way like it does the stupidest things, like put dog ears on your head and make a fake tongue come out of your mouth. But as you move your head, like it's again, it's the idea. It's augmenting what you're seeing. I don't have that on top of my head, but when I'm looking at it on the screen, it looks like there are dog ears on top of my head, and it looks like this tongue is flying out of my mouth whenever I open it. And even the silliest applications, I mean, the technology is at a point now where it's so impressive to see it. So to what other applications are there beyond dog ears?
Well, personal presentation has been a really big market for apps and whatnot in terms of augmenting reality or shifting perception. I can't even count how many apps there are that will beautify your selfie. Or, you know, instantly slim your face or your figure, or, you know, add makeup effects or professional Photoshop effects. I mean, Instagram itself with its filters, that's kind of a very loose way of talking about augmented reality. Because it is, it's changing what is real by putting some kind of overlay over it. So those...
Now, these beauty apps kind of blew my mind. I downloaded a couple of them, and the experience was... Man, I've got a lot of thoughts about this because I've never worn makeup. I've never felt the need to conceal anything, right? The most I'll do is like shave and, you know, cut my hair. And whoa. So I'm using a couple of these apps and there's like this auto beautify button mm-hmm. or IntelliBeauty button on one of them. And all of a sudden, like the photo changes a little bit and I can't really tell. I'm like... Huh, like what did it – I can't really tell what it did. And then it has an instant like compare button. So you just press it and then you go back to the original and come back to the, you know, beautified version. And but like it's so weird to see your face without any blemishes or without any, like, I don't want to say imperfections, but just like it looks so smooth on the beautified one, that the original picture in comparison is really jarring, that comparison. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, it's something I've never thought about before. Now, I understand I'm a guy there, that I've never had that kind of pressure. So for me, this was like a brand new thing. Like, I'm 30 and I'm thinking about this for the first time. And it made me kind of sad to think about, like, how often people are feeling like that, but feeling that with the pressure, mm-hmm. you know, of having to have that beautified version, or having, like, I was able to scale the beautification up and down, and not to mention even there's absolutely a thinning button, so it knows where my nose, mouth, eyes are, can make the eyes bigger, and I'm talking about, you know, it's a slider, right? So I can make them larger, smaller, very, very easily. And it was a really weird experience to see my face changing. But, you know, and then the goal of the app is the beautification. And, you know, I shared an article with you about how, you know, people are using this a lot to lighten their skin. Mm-hmm. So I used one of the apps to, like, lighten my skin even more and make my skin a whole lot darker. And the creepiest thing about the apps is just how good they are. It's not like I've used Photoshop and I can do a really bad Photoshop on somebody's face. But these apps make it so easily to just mess with your face and unfortunately to mess with other people's faces too.
Yeah. And so that's just one of the many, many things and one of the many, many beauty apps that are out there. But what I really want to know is, are we going to get a Josue beauty shot for the show notes?
Do you want one?
We can let the people decide. I think that'd be great. But yeah, so there's things like that I think really speak to social pressures and social norms. So I think it's far more interesting to hear about your experience than mine of, oh yeah, okay, it's another beauty app.
Another thing that I thought was, you know, that beautification, like that ideal is really important to a lot of people. So we've talked before about HoloLens and how that is essentially wearing that filter over your eyes. So you're not looking at it through a screen. The screen is translucent and in front of your face. So the whole world changes. And so what if you auto beautify everybody around you? And all of a sudden, everybody I see can meet that ideal because the program is automatically putting every face in my perspective, you know, in my point of view. They're all made up and they look fabulous.
Well,
that's weird.
For a historical reference, I know it was actually really common in the 50s for housewives to get up early to put their makeup on before their husbands got up, so that their husbands would never see them without their full face on. And I know people even today who won't leave the house until they have, quote unquote, put their face on. So even you know, a little more, kicking it a little bit more retro in altering the perception of others by applying something to yourself, whether it's makeup or an app.
I mean, you could literally just have everybody around you look lighter skinned than you feel comfortable seeing people. Like that, the fact that is possible. Potentially, like, I don't know if HoloLens can do that, but if one of these beauty apps, you just apply the same filters there, then you could do that. Or you can make everybody darker. You can make everybody thinner just because, you know, fat people make you feel uncomfortable or something like that.
Yeah, there's some...
That's the world we live in.
Some really wild things you could do with it. But I think one of the cutest ones I found was a free app called Crayola Color Alive. And again, this is probably harkening back to my nesting mommy baby urges, but it's an app that's compatible with a Crayola coloring book. So when kids color on the physical paper page, when you put the app over it, the page becomes 3D, and so you can actually have interactive pages, and the kids' drawings come to life. Which I think is really, really cool. So it's not, I mean, I've always loved coloring books and, you know, being able to put put my phone over it and see what I drew now become a three-dimensional thing that I can interact with, I think is really cool. And although this is apparently targeted at children, I kind of want it. I mean, I have the app, but I don't have the coloring book, so I kind of have to hold off.
I think we need to do that research.
Research, exactly. Serious.
Yeah.
Serious research. And then kind of the last ones that I wanted to bring home were inspired by the conversation we had with Dr. McClendon last week or the week before about therapy and about clinical implications for this kind of technology. And we did talk a little bit about exposure therapy. So for those who might not be familiar, if you have a specific, for example, a specific phobia, say you're afraid of spiders, exposure therapy would gradually work you up through, say, first saying the word spider, and then maybe showing you a card that has the word spider on it, and maybe a cartoon drawing of a spider, and maybe a picture of a spider, and then maybe one of those plastic ones. And so basically you're getting gradually exposed to whatever you're afraid of, and then having that paired with relaxation techniques so that you're no longer being as strongly triggered, or you can calm yourself down in like a very broad, very fast and dirty way of explaining exposure therapy. And we had mentioned on that podcast that wouldn't it be cool if there was like augmented reality where you could just see the spider on your hand? And there, one of the articles that I found for this show, although I'd just say most of it was cockroaches, there were like 10 studies about desensitization training for people with cockroach fears using augmented reality.
Huh.
I was like, wow. Huh. So yeah, one of the articles was a literature review that collected, I think it was about 15 studies that used augmented reality, most of which, like 90% of which, are in the treatment of specific phobias, namely insects, so and arachnids. So spiders and cockroaches appear to be the big favorites. Although I did see a couple that were focused on eating disorders, which I think is also very interesting and ties right into that idea of the beauty app where you can beautify yourself or make yourself skinnier, make yourself whiter or darker or whatever you want. So I think those are some really interesting clinical implications coming forward. And again, the idea of exposure therapy that you get to confront the scary stimuli, but in a really safe way. And I mean, obviously, if you want to hear more about that, definitely go check out the podcast that we did. It's going to come out next week, I think. But that was something I thought was really, really cool, is that we had talked about, wouldn't it be cool if on the podcast with Mike, and then ta-da, there it was.
And oh, so one thing I mentioned, again, alluding to that podcast, go check it out, was the, so when you're talking about augmented reality, there's a real component to it, right? The physical component. We're not talking about changing a digital avatar of me. I'm talking about changing me. Kind of on the fly. So even though in those articles where they do talk about the, and they even have a picture of the fake spider, it's not clear that they actually have anything physical that is representing the feeling of a spider, right? It only has the visual, like it looks like there's a spider on the table. It looks like it's walking on your, like it's about to climb on top of your hand. But if we had a small little robot that we could program to crawl and then just have the augmented view overlay a spider on top of that, then you're coupling the visual with the actual feeling, possibly even the sound, but it's all completely safe.
Right.
Right. So even though you're gradually getting to that point where I mean you're feeling you're recreating it as close to the real thing as possible at every level. And again, but you, even though it's hard for you to understand it in the moment because of the fear, but you do know beforehand that it is safe and it allows you to go farther, right? That's kind of what it's talking about in those articles. And yeah, there's a huge future for that. Like, imagine the people whose companies will be dedicated to creating devices like that, that not only are able to create like really good visuals, right? So imagine a company that has animators that create the 3D models, or are able to capture footage from a real spider, And then, like, you're capturing the audio, you're creating a device that can imitate different creepy crawlers, and then you're designing these different experiences for use in treatment. Like, that is so cool. That is that we can bring all these things together for good. And the applications are crazy because, yeah, we can talk about something like as small like a spider, but if you're of heights, we could potentially make the floor, like we could have a green floor, right, painted green, and then change the floor to look like a canyon, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's probably, I think I would, you know, freak out if you like just literally pulled the floor out from under me and put me on top of a canyon. But we could, you know, we could make a ledge and you could do all these things. And really you're just in a room with a floor, but we're able to create that experience. And then adding the other elements, right? There's different dimensions. So you add the sound, you turn a fan on all of a sudden, so it feels like there's wind blowing, you know, and it's so cool. It's so cool. So many, I mean, the possibilities are kind of endless.
Yeah, especially if you combine it with VR. You know, the idea that you could completely transport somebody to some place that maybe is a little bit more specific. So a fear of flying is a really big one. So practicing walking through the airport is, you know, can be part of the treatment plan. And which, you know, and sometimes things are going to be more conducive to a virtual reality experience, and sometimes things are going to be more conducive to an augmented reality experience. But I got to say, I really like the idea of doing more augmented stuff just because I like the idea of the overlay as opposed to completely supplementing my reality. I love the idea of, you know, walking through my house and, you know, knowing that, okay, the toaster is going to pop at a couple seconds because the timer above the toaster, is, you know, the holographic timer or whatever is showing, or I don't know. I'm just trying to think of what an augmented reality house would be like. You know,
So I believe, I hate it when I'm not 100% sure about this stuff to mention it and put it on tape. Okay, so I think Lowe's, the hardware store, the home improvement store, has a program where it's essentially does this type of thing where it's like, oh, what would my cupboards look like if they were this model? And what would the cupboard look like if they were this model? Like, you could redo your kitchen augmentedly, right, instead of virtually. You're standing in your kitchen and you're switching stuff up, right, and you're seeing things differently. And I'm not sure if that is using – see, because the Lowe's thing appeared during the HoloLens presentation at the last Microsoft conference. And I don't know if they're doing it all right now just with photos and then you kind of just switch it on the fly, or if there's actually a live demo version. And it may just be the actual, like, I believe they're creating an experience that you would have in the store. So they may have a stock kitchen where you stand there and then you put on something like a HoloLens and then you're switching things up. And so it's changing in front of you. And it's not just a catalog, right? So it's an actual kitchen, something like that. So you could just change the windows. You could change the wall colors. You could change things like that. And the HoloLens demo that they showed last year showed essentially where you could put a TV on any wall and resize it and move around in the wall. And the TV is just hanging there on that wall, but there really isn't a TV right there. No.
I love that idea. You were talking about the cabinets. I love the idea of standing in my kitchen and having, you know, putting on a pair of glasses. Let's say we're more advanced than HoloLens and we're down to my glasses, and I just swipe my hand through the air, you know, Minority Report style, and my cupboards, you know, change color or wood grain or tint, and then I get to see how that looks with the rest of my kitchen, you know, with my countertops and my flooring and the light that's coming in at that particular moment. I think that's a pretty cool application of what it could be or what it could be like. And so there's the Lowe's example. There's also, I think IKEA has an app that lets you
put the furniture in different places,
yeah,
right?
You can, yeah. So there's no more, a little to the left, a little to the right, but I'm not quite sure how sophisticated that one is. But still, there's so many uses. We've gone from furniture to clinical implications to, you know, sexist beauty standards to, you know, to a kid's coloring book. It's just augmented reality is everywhere. And I think people are just going to, but it doesn't seem as flashy as VR. So I wonder if it's going to be more successful because it has more of a stealthy approach and it's not, you know, not trying to revolutionize, quote unquote, in big scary letters, but more it's kind of very slowly seeping into our daily experience. You know, for example, the Snapchat or through the beauty apps or this, you know, Crayola thing that, oh, that's kind of cool. So I wonder if maybe that's going to be, maybe that's going to be the norm. Maybe that's what we're going to have in our homes, whereas VR is going to be something that's more extreme.
I think it's the opposite because the VR is a completely controlled environment. And right now with something like the Oculus or the Vive, you already have a level of immersion that is, I guess it isn't jarring, right? And augmented reality will always, it's harder to pull off because it needs to match up with what's happening, right? And it needs to track your movements. It also needs to track everything that's happening on the outside. And it's also, for example, on the kitchen example, you know, I don't think we would necessarily have always on augmented reality, right? So, because you're always comparing with reality almost at the same time, right? So if you have if it glitches for a second, all of a sudden you saw the original and then it comes back. Or maybe the overlay isn't exactly correct or the color isn't working. So I don't think it's even sustainable for long, long periods of time. Like it works. It's great to kind of, well, if I'm remodeling, I wonder what it would look like. And then you have the best possible way to, you know, kind of see what it would look like by using the augmented reality. But then having that like 24/7 it would be really hard. And I think we're so far from the technology being there, but we're already, I mean, VR is here, right? Like we can pull off VR very, very well. And the most advanced thing that I've seen like on HoloLens is like having your room all of a sudden transform into Mars, right? The surface of Mars, for example, or have something floating in the air. But that requires so much CPU power, so much, just so much going on. And it's not perfect just because there's so many variables and so many elements. So I think it'll be more like you said, like smaller applications, something like, you know, bite-sized, Snapchat-sized bits to play with every now and then. Now, I'll tell you where I wish things were going. I like to hike. For a while, I used to run. I haven't run in a while. But sometimes I go on a trail, and I get kind of bored of the same trail. And I wish, like, man, I wish that every now and then I could, like, with augmented reality, I could make the trail look different.
God, nature, right? You're so boring.
Absolutely, right? Only four seasons? Come on. Right? So I would think, like, man, maybe what if I could make it look like, I don't know, a new movie comes out, right? Or you want it to look like Avatar, right? And you want it to look like Pandora, right? And then so you put that filter on and all of a sudden, you know, for my run today, I'm going to run through that or through the North Pole or something like that. And that adds a little variety to something. But since you're living in the real world, you can kind of change it up, right? But for like the VR version of that would be running on a treadmill with the VR, right? Like you can't go out with completely covering up all your senses. That would be dangerous.
Yeah, you would either fall or vomit or both.
Yes. Yeah. Plus like that cable. Right now we're at a point where we have cables. So you can't get very far. But you can't really have that full immersive experience right, with the augmented reality, but you could change things enough. So like if you're living, right, like if you wanted to change things in where you really are, that you would use augmented reality. Where if I wanted to like have a, there's certain experiences on, again, on Pandora that I would have, that I would prefer with VR. But that kind of like changing my trail, changing the walk that I'm having is, it's been something that I've been wanting for years. And right now we have things like, did you ever use the Zombie Run app?
Yes.
Right. So that's an example of augmented reality where you're running, but you're supposedly there are zombies following you and there's like this narration and you're, you know, it depends, it knows how fast you're going and things like that. So it kind of changes the experience, but imagine, you know, Zombie Run AR, you look back and there actually are zombies. and that's really cool. But we are kind of far from that because even, again, HoloLens, like a dev kit right now is like $3,500. So who knows what it'll cost when it actually releases. And if you just take VR as an example, VR took about 3 years from the dev kits to the consumer release. And the consumer product was way more expensive than the dev kits. So we're talking about maybe a $4,000 to $5,000 HoloLens in 3 to 4 years, which will be a little harder to reach consumers. But I think those examples that we see of engineers and architects kind of having 3D models sitting on a table and doing very Iron Man things with them are definitely not only happening right now, but they will happen in more, maybe more enterprise level, more corporate level, professional level scenarios, and maybe things in the store like the Lowe's demo.
I just want my holodeck.
So okay, so I was thinking about this. So is a holodeck VR or AR?
I feel like it's VR. I'm torn because a naked holodeck is just a room that is a black room that has yellow grid lines on it. That's all it is.
Yes.
So the environment is 100% created. Like there's no actual reality there. You don't see the grid wall when you're in the holodeck and it's running.
And the holodeck actually has, I forgot the name of the particles, but the technology there really is that there's this energy, like this hard light energy that is able to construct physical objects. And so it is creating an entirely virtual space out of a physical, out of matter.
Right.
And so it is a very strange mix. And so actually, I think the closest thing that's in between right now that I've seen is that I saw someone who made a VR pinball game and then created a physical controller for the game, which is essentially the first, like just the very, very front part of a pinball machine. And so when you're looking at the game and you're reaching out, you actually feel the buttons on the side and they look the same as they do in the VR experience. And you have the plunger thing, right, to launch the ball. And so that is a mixture, right, of kind of VR and AR, because you could do it two ways. You could have a full-blown virtual pinball table in your VR visor with this physical controller, or you could have a completely, you know, full-built physical pinball cabinet and then have the AR overlay the digital game on top of it. So, and I don't know which one I'd prefer in this instance.
Both.
You want both.
Why not both? And I think maybe that's where we're actually going to see it come to ultimately. Maybe 15, 20 years down the line, we're going to have virtual augmented reality or augmented virtual reality or well, something with a better name than that.
Because in the pinball example with the augmented reality, you, for the most part, you're limiting yourself to the size of that cabinet. You could maybe go a little farther. In the virtual setting, you could, that pinball machine could be anything. It could be any size. And so the possibilities are, I believe that you can be way more creative with the VR, again, because you control every single variable of the experience mm-hmm. versus the AR. So I would vote for VR in that one on the pinball set. But I'm still on the fence on what exactly a holodeck is. I want one. I agree with you. I want one now.
Yeah, I'd have
but
to.
I don't know what it falls.
I'd have to tend yeah. towards the virtual reality, but at the same time, you know, Picard can see himself, and if he's got a friend playing with him, he can see his friend, and that is reality. So I don't know. Maybe that's the hybrid that we're going for, and we'll have a holodeck in 20 years. I called it.
20?
Yeah, 20 years.
So 2036.
Yep. So
we're getting holodeck.
We'll meet back here in 20 years. Okay. And we'll be on Psych Tech number like 2000, and mm-hmm. We'll see if I was right.
Okay, sounds good.
Awesome, go team. So, if you have any thoughts about augmented reality apps that you enjoyed and have tried out, if you've messed around with Hear at all, the augmented audio app, let us know. I'd love to hear other people's thoughts. And if you're team VR, team AR, or if you think that I'm right on point with my prediction for a holodeck in 20 years, let us know. If you don't, well, don't. but as always, you can find us here on psychtechpodcast.com. Be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes and get us on Stitcher and TuneIn and Google Play. And make sure you leave really nice feedback, because that does actually a lot to help the podcast be noticed and move up in the rankings on iTunes and the other podcast agents. So thank you much for tuning in. Find us on Twitter at PsychTechCast. And yeah, we will catch you next week at the same bat time, same bat station. Hopefully you're not afraid of bats. And if so, I've got an augmented reality app for you.